Thankfully, it was moving faster than Sally did. Sally caused a lot of damage because she sat and didn't move very fast, and so lots and lots of rain fell on the same place. Thankfully, Delta kind of kept trucking along his path. And as he trucked across the path, it got weaker and weaker. Now, as I drove through the neighborhood yesterday, our church sign was hanging down. Thankfully, somebody fixed it. I don't know if Seth and Allison put it back right or one of our neighbors did. But I said, well, when I leave to go out, I'll fix the sign. But when I went out, it was already fixed. So somebody fixed it for it. But there were limbs down all over, and the roads looked like a hot mess from all the debris and everything. But thankfully, not much damage. And even in Louisiana, where it was stronger and it did hurt, there was not the catastrophic damage that could have been. But, you know, as we face disasters, perhaps more than really we've ever known. There's wildfires out on the west coast of the United States, all up and down the west coast. Flooding, hurricanes in the southeast. So it's this time of year, a couple of things to remind ourselves. You know what? Be always aware and prepare for emergencies, because they're going to come. We don't know when. Now, thankfully, because of science and some different technology that we have, we can predict when they're going to come. And when they do show up, you know, the scientists and so forth, the weather folks can say, all right, this tornado is on the ground. This is where it's heading. So if you're in the path of this storm, you better get somewhere quick. So if we prepare for things like that, how much more important is it that we prepare for the storms and the trials of life? And so that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. And I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus had just been crying about Jerusalem because of the condition that his temple and his house had gotten to. And that's where we pick this story up. It says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So storms come, and oftentimes they serve as reminders, and the destruction that nature serves is a reminder as we reflect, you know what, our lives. There are sometimes storms come into our lives that are much more devastating than any hurricane or earthquake that we can. And so what is Jesus talking about? Man, he's just seeing his city. He's weeping. Because the people that were supposed to be a light for God, and the city that was on a hill, and by the way, that's Jerusalem, and that imagery came from the Bible, and refers to God's people. They were supposed to help everyone else around them be able to find God. But unfortunately, what the nation of Israel did was put covers over their light. Say, no, we're just going to let it be light for just us. And eventually that light didn't even shine in Jerusalem. And the hearts of God's people had grown cold. And Jesus cried over it. And he tells his disciples that, you know what? You see down at the temple, as they were sitting on the Mount of Olives, looking down on Jerusalem, said, there's the temple. And I tell you, the day is coming when it's going to be not that, there's not going to be a stone left on top of another stone. In other words, it's going to be destroyed. Now, if your faith and your trust is in that building, what does that mean? That means your faith is gone, and it's destroyed. If that building was your God, and unfortunately for some of Israel, for some that called themselves Jews, that building was their God. And sadly, by the way, unless we point fingers too quickly at the Jews, there's a lot of Christians that behave that way toward the church, too. And they worship a building where they worship more than they do, or as much as they do, the God who's supposed to be the owner of that building. And so Jesus gives us these signs and reminds us of some important truths. And the first important truth, the first message we find in these storms, is that Jesus is coming again. He said, you know what? The temple's going to be destroyed. And I think there was this double meaning. Yet the temple of Jerusalem was eventually destroyed a few decades after Jesus was crucified. But he was also talking about the temple being himself. He was going to be put to death. And victory was going to be declared, but guess what? He ultimately won. Death did not defeat him. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and the penalty, and the hold of sin, so that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so he says, listen, many times you're going to see all these things going on in nature, and people are going to be looking for answers. And so there's going to be a lot of false messiahs, and there's going to be a lot of false prophets. Say, hey, listen, I'm the Jesus that you're looking for. Follow after me. And unfortunately, we don't have to look hard or long to find some of those kind of people that have made those claims. And unfortunately, those people have had a good number of followers that they've led astray. But there's only one Jesus Christ. And just as he came as a baby born of a virgin in a cow trough in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, he's coming again. But the thing is, as he mentioned several times in the Gospels, Jesus told us often, listen, nobody knows when that day is coming. You can't put it on your calendar. But you can rest assured of this, he is coming again. He said, there's some things that you can be looking for that will indicate the storm. Just like Friday night, I was down in Gulfport. I actually had lunch on the beach. And it was a little breezy, but it was pretty. And, I mean, it was a nice day. Sun was shining. I went and had a good lunch, and by the time I was done with lunch, about an hour late, you know what, the wind started to pick up a little bit, and those palm trees began to sway much more than they were earlier. As I was leaving at this place, you know, a lot of the restaurants out there have those outside patio seating things, you know, so you can sit outside and look at the beach and smell the beach air and all that. And they had the little canopy thing, the cover things. By the time I had, when I was leaving, guess what they were doing? They were going and they were lowering all those canopy things because the wind was getting stronger. And then do you know what happened next? The sky started darken. And Friday night it got dark much earlier than it's supposed to. Why? Because a storm was coming. And then as the night progressed, guess what? It got darker. The wind got stronger and stronger. And so there was all these indicators that, hey, listen, this hurricane, it's pretty close to being here. Probably should get inside. Now, there are crazy people that say, oh, I'm a hurricane hunter and tornado hunter and all that. Oh, let me go out and be in the middle of it. Smart people, when they see those signs, they get somewhere safe. And so as we go through life and as we look around and all these things that are going around in our world, I really do think they're an indicator and a reminder to us Jesus is coming again, and it's much closer today than it was last week or last year. Listen, preachers were preaching, Paul in the first century was preaching Jesus' imminent return. Well, now it's been many centuries after that. He hadn't come back yet. And we'll talk about why in just a minute. But we can rest on this very important truth and find this message in the storms that no matter what the hurricane is, whether it's a physical hurricane or hurricane that's coming into your life, this thing is true no matter what the situation is, that Jesus is coming again. This life is not all there is. And if this life is what you're living for, you are living for the wrong thing. Does that mean that we shouldn't live like... No, I think God intends for us in this life, here on earth, as we go through, as we're sojourning or being a pilgrim passing through, God intends for us to enjoy this life. And we should live it to its fullest. But if this life and the stuff of this world is what you chase after and what your life's centered around, then it's centered around the wrong preacher. You're talking to Christians. Can I tell you, I know a lot of people that claim to be Christians, and maybe they are saved. They have a relationship with Jesus, but it is evident their life is not centered around Jesus. It's centered around fishing or hunting or NASCAR or football or basketball or baseball. And none of those things in themselves are bad. But when our life is centered around Him and they become our God, they are very damaging. And so when we go through storms, we're reminded, listen, Jesus is coming again. But not only is He coming again, He's here now. You said the Scriptures say that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He never leaves us, and He'll never forsake us. And so that means when we're going through the storm, when we're physically, you know, spiritually or figuratively hanging on to that, our arms wrapped around that tree, and, you know, we're flying, I can't do it here on the state, but, you know, our legs are out, we're hanging on for dear life. Jesus is right there with us. And so we need to take courage and be encouraged. When we're going through storms, listen, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end. But Jesus reminds, even if it was the end, He's still God. And He's coming again, so you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. Children of God should not live in fear. We should live in trust and in faith, knowing that Jesus has our back. But then Jesus also goes on, he says, gives us a second thing this morning, and that is that devastation that we see in our world is a result of sin. And I tell you that when God created the earth, when we look at Genesis chapter 1, God created something beautiful and something good. My God, what a marvelous place. Even in its fallen state, there's some beautiful and marvelous places in this world. Many of you have had opportunity to travel to different parts of this world. There are beautiful parts of Mississippi, the Gulf Coast, when hurricanes aren't ripping it up, is beautiful. The mountains of Tennessee and North Georgia, you know, the Rocky Mountains, are beautiful. There's lots of beautiful places in not only Ireland, but around the world. Beautiful, beautiful places. And God made all of it. But you see that the devastation that we face in this world, the famine that we see, and the fighting, and the war, is a direct result of sin. It's not because of God. God didn't create it. It's because of sin. And sin only does one thing. It comes in many different colors, shapes, and sizes, but it does one thing. It destroys. Sin destroys everything it touches. So where that's going with the beautiful places around the world? Yeah, there are. But do you know what? Before sin entered the world, even those places were a lot more beautiful. And there are even more gorgeous places than those places that we can think of. But sin entered the world. Not only affects mankind, not only affects our life and our relationship with God, but it affects all of creation. And so illness entered the world because of sin. Tornadoes come as a result of sin. Hurricanes come as a result of sin. These wildfires come as a result of sin. Because of our fallen human nature, the things in this world that destroy are a result of sin. So he said, listen, you're going to see these things as wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be troubles on every side. Kingdoms are going to be against kingdoms and nations against nations. There'll be pestilence and earthquakes. Now, all kinds of natural disasters going on, political disasters. You know, there'll be time when governments come for you. There'll be times when, again, many will come, false prophets and false messiahs will come proclaiming that they're the ones that have come to redeem mankind. And there'll be trouble because there'll be sin. And as long as sin is in this world, there'll be devastation. And you can rest assured that God is aware and that God has provided a safe house, a refuge, where the shelter was, where I was at in Gulfport. It was on the north end of Gulfport. It was a FEMA shelter that they had built after Hurricane Katrina, and this building had very junky cell phone service. It's horrible. And the reason it was so horrible, and was because the concrete in that building was so incredibly thick and there was so much steel in that building that the whatever those cell phone signals are couldn't get in there very well. the building could withstand 200-mile-an-hour winds. In other words, we were perfectly safe. And when you're in one of those buildings, chances are, if you're in a building like that, you're going to be okay. But the stuff outside of that building is probably going to get damaged. Well, think of it this way. Jesus is that concrete steel wall that protects you from 200-mile-an-hour spiritual storm winds breathing through your life. And as long as He's there protecting you, you're safe. Doesn't mean that bad things will happen to you. It doesn't mean that you won't die, but you don't have to live in fear, because God is right there with you. And you're safe in Him. Just like in the middle of a tornado or a hurricane, you're safe in that evacuation shelter, because it was built to withstand that. You and I, we're not built to withstand sin. And when we allow sin to come into our life and it infiltrates us, you rest assured it will destroy. You may not see the destruction right away, but it will be there. Sin always destroys. And so much of what we're seeing in the world today is a result of sin. It's a result of the fall. And so guess what the answer is? It's not building more buildings that can withstand 200-mile-an-hour winds. It's not signing more peace accords or shaking hands or, you know, making more peace agreements or saying, well, we're just going to get along. Although there's places for those things, and there's some value in those things. But the only real solution is finding the one who gives life rather than destruction. Sin destroys. Jesus gives life. In fact, Jesus said, I came that you might have life. He said, I came that you might have joy, and that your joy might be full, and that you might be overflowing with life and joy and peace. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have bad things come into your life, but when Jesus is in your life, even those bad things, you can find joy and hope because Jesus is in your life. Listen, sin is devastating. And we need to see it as something serious. We cannot pussyfoot around with sin. We can't, nonchalant about sin. You've got to see it as what it is. It is destructive. It will never do anything but destroy, regardless of what it says to you. No matter how alluring it is. No matter how good it might make you feel for a season, sin always destroys. But here's the thing. The devastation that we see going around our world, something good has come out of it. You remember earlier at 9 o'clock, we were been going through the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 8, you remember it says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. We see that fleshed out in this last point of the sermon this morning. It's this. Tribulation opens doors to the gospel. When there's hurricanes, when there's viruses that are killing lots and lots of people, when there's fires throwing millions of people out of their homes, guess what? That means there's a lot of people saying, what is the meaning of all of this? Where can I find comfort? where can I make sense of all of this? Well, a lot of people try to make sense of it in a beer bottle or in a pill or in trusting the government to make things better. But can I tell you, the only thing that can make it better is the gospel. The only thing that can make it better is Jesus Christ coming into that situation and making it better. Because sin does nothing but destroy, but Jesus brings life. And so Matthew here records Jesus' words. He said, listen, when these things come, you know what? Know this. The end's not coming until the word has gone out and is preached to all nations. And sometimes it takes hurricanes, either physical hurricanes or hurricanes coming into our life, tearing things up, before we get to the point where we're ready to say, you know what, enough is enough. I need to do something different. Sometimes we think about the prodigal son. Lived out and was having a great old time and hired himself out and found himself hungry and desiring to eat pig slop. But it took him being hungry for pig slop to come to a sense and say, you know what? I got a father that loves me and treats his servants pretty well. I'm going to go back there and be one of his servants. And we know the point of that story that Jesus told was the father saw that son coming a long way off and ran and brought restoration. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel brings restoration where sin brings destruction. In times of disasters and famines and pests, guess what happens? Governments that once were closed off and were absolutely opposed to anything Christian, all of a sudden go to organizations who are Christian and say, you know, we need some help with whatever it might be. Samaritan's Purse working with, a few years ago they went and opened Ebola hospitals here. This year they've opened up some coronavirus response hospitals in not only America but around the world. And guess what happens when people come to one of those places? Yeah, they may get food or they may get medical care. But you know what they also get? They also get introduced to Jesus. They have the gospel presented to them. And many respond. Some reject and some are absolutely hostile toward the gospel. But these tribulations, these disasters, all these bad things that are going on not only in our country but around the world have opened doors for the gospel to be able to be proclaimed in places where missionaries could not go. Again, I don't think God sent some of those things to cause that, but God can take those bad things and can even bring good out of it. And I tell you, somebody coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and finding new life in Christ is a mighty good outcome from a hurricane or a pandemic or famine or whatever it might be. And so there are a lot of more people who maybe even just 6 months ago were absolutely closed off to the gospel and didn't want to hear anything about God or anything about Jesus. As this mess has been going in our world, guess what's turning around through their mind? Maybe I ought to give those Christians a listen. The world's not getting any better on its own. The politicians certainly aren't making things better. Maybe there is something to that. So Jesus reminds us the last days will not come until the gospel has been preached to the nations. Until every people group has had an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And guess what? God uses sometimes these horrific, devastating things that come as a result of sin. He says, hey, listen, this is what mankind's thinking and mankind's rules will bring. Because the only thing sin can do is destroy. But here's something better. God has opened doors that at one time, not very long ago, within our lifetime, China is not pleasant towards Christians. But the nation of China actively seeks out Americans to come to China to teach English. And so there's a Christian agency that its sole purpose is to train up and recruit English teachers to go to China under the guise of teaching English, which they do. But guess what the oldest English language textbook is? Some of you had this in your school growing up. It's this. The Bible. And so organizations like ELIC and other groups like that are able to go into closed countries and teach English, but also have access to people that they would not have had access to any other way. And here the government is inviting them and encouraging them to come. Well, that's because God is all-powerful. He has ways of opening doors that man tries to keep shut. And so I believe that Jesus is coming again. We look through this passage, we look around and see all the mess going on in our world today. That important truth has to be at the forefront of our mind that Jesus is coming again. And so the question is, and the imperative for us as God's people is, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared for His coming. But we also have a mission. And that mission is to help everyone else that we can prepare for that second coming as well. All of us are called to share the gospel. The gospel can save anyone. And God puts people in your life that I can never reach. They'd never talk to me, but you know what? They talk to you. And so you have an opportunity to present the gospel to them. And maybe it's where you open the door and you say, hey, Aaron, can you come help me? I'd love to do that. But it won't be because I give the gospel to them, because you have a relationship with them. They'll listen to you. God has given, and there are friends, there are co-workers, there's family members that you know that maybe they were at one time cut off, you know, they were hostile to the things of God, and they may still on the outside portray to be. But could it be that God is using the message of the storm, all of these hurricanes and wildfires and pestilence and famine and all the craziness going on around the world? Could it be that God would love for us to use that as an opportunity to tell others about the hope that comes in Jesus Christ? The gospel is very simple. The gospel says this, that we all are sinners. And we deserve to spend eternity in hell. But God loved us so much that He came and He paid the price for us. He paid that sin. He paid my sin debt and He paid your sin debt. He paid the sin debt of all whosoever would come and receive that gift. That's really all you have to understand about the gospel. And all you have to be able to do is say, listen, Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life. And because these people know you, this is what they'll say. Well, surely Jesus can make a difference in that guy's life. He can make a difference in mine too. So oftentimes, tribulation does open doors to the gospel so that the gospel can be preached and received where not long ago it couldn't. And so what do we do about that? Well, this is what I want us to do about it. First, I want you to make sure, friend, that you are prepared for Jesus coming again. And how you prepare is you make sure He's the Lord of your life and you're living right with Him. And if you're not today, you need to get to the altar and you need to call out to God and say, God, save me, a sinner. Only you know the condition of your heart. And if things aren't where they ought to be with God, today is a great opportunity. We're promised right now. We're not promised, but we're not even promised lunchtime. Though we all hope lunchtime comes, we're not promised it. But we do have now. And so if things are not right between you and the Lord today, right now at 11:55 on October 11th, 2020, the perfect opportunity for you to get things right. So the first thing I want you to do is you prepare yourself. Make sure you're prepared. But then secondly, I want you to say, Lord, I'm prepared, I'm ready for your coming, but there's some people in my life that I know that aren't ready. Would you help me to help them to get ready? So those are our two calls of action today. Make sure that we're ready, and then ask the Lord to help us to get somebody else ready. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. We thank you that even in the midst of storms, you speak to us. And Lord, as we listen to this song, as we pause and as a time of reflection, a time of response, would you help us to look into our own heart and say, Lord, is our own house prepared for your coming again? Are we ready? And if there's one here that is not ready, would you help them today to say, Lord, get me ready right here, right now? But then, Lord, secondly, we pray that we would help others be ready for your coming. Lord, as I've mentioned this morning, the only thing sin does is destroy. It looks alluring, it smells nice, and comes in nice packaging and bows, and it's glittery. But the only thing it does is destroy. But you give life. Lord, help us to make sure we're ready. Help us to prepare. Help us to reach out to others to help them be ready as well. Give us grace, give us courage and boldness to speak the gospel to those who desperately need to hear it, we pray. The song's going to play. It's an old, old song. And I want you to listen to the words of it. And I want you, as the song plays, you reflect on your heart. The altars are open. If you need to come, you come and do business with the Lord. Somebody will come with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today at First Free Will Baptist Church. We're glad that you are able to join us virtually here on Facebook or on YouTube.
Maybe as this song plays, it says, I wish we'd all been ready. Maybe there's one that God's placed on your heart this week, and maybe through this message. All of us got travel right now. Call their name out to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me reach this person.
Children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. And I wish we'd all been. the sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Oh yeah. The demons dying. How could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. No, and there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come.
I hope you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I hope it's been. Let's, as a hymn of response, let's stand in a little chorus. I will serve thee. Let's just sing this through one time.